Okay, we're starting at the top of Mem Chen and Aleph. Here the Gemara is continuing with yesterday the explanation of the Brisa. We had a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim with regards to Hikachalei B'Shtar Chov, Oshaya, Milve, V'yad Achivim. And here the Gemara explained that their machlokes actually related to two issues. Yesterday we discussed the fact that they set up their machlokes the Milve B'Shtar, and today we're going to discuss that the Gemara also said that they argue the Milve Alpeh. So that's what the Gemara asks. It's 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 lines down in the Gemara Memchet. The Milve Alpeh B'Mai Pligei. What do they argue with? When we explain this Braisa, they also argue about an oral loan. What is it? The Rav Huna Amar Rav. They're arguing the position or the statement of Rav Huna Amar Rav. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna Amar Rav establishes a principle. Mono Libi Adcha. Right? If I have 100, this 100 that you owe me, Snehu Luploni. Instead of paying it back to me, the Malva says to the Lova, instead of paying it back to me, pay it to this third party, the Ma'amad Shloshtam, and they're all present. The Malva, the Lova, and the receiving party are all present. Kanat, the works. This is what we call the Kinyan, right? We had this in Gittin, the Gemara in Gittin, and Yudim on Yudalit, the concept called Ma'amad Shloshtam. So, Marsa, Varki Kamarav, when Rav made this statement about Ma'amad Shloshtam working, that's Hanimili Pikadon. That only works with the Pikadon, that you're able to assign, right, the object, or the return of the object to another person when they're all present. But when it comes to loan, you cannot do this. And the other holds, no, that it doesn't matter whether it's a milva or pikadon, you're able to use this principle or use this kinyan called ma'amad shloshtam. And the difference, obviously, between them is by pikadon, it's the idbe'en. The object is physically there, and therefore you're samchadata. The person who's receiving it is so mechadat to really receive it because he sees it there, as opposed to a loan, which is an intangible item, he may not be so mechadat. So based on that, that would be the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, whether you're mekudeshet or any mekudeshet. If he assigns her a loan, the receipt of a loan, when he gives the assignment of that loan to this woman, and someone, the Lova, who owed him money, and now orally he's passing it on to her, but Ma'amad Shloshtam, does it work or doesn't work? So that depends on this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in Ma'amad Shloshtam. Just as a reminder, by the Gemara of Ma'amad Shloshtam, right there we saw that there's a general kakira on how Ma'amad Shloshtam works. When you have the Malva, the Lova, and the third party, the recipient, how is it working now? The Lova owes money to the Malva. The Malva says, instead of paying it to me, give it to this third party. Is the Malva still involved in the process or not? Meaning that, are we just saying that truthfully the Lova owes the money to the Malva, and instead of going through the conduit, still going through the Malva, but he just says, instead of giving it to me, hand it over to the third party, but the Malva is still in the picture. Or, when the Malva tells the Lova to pay to the third party, he's taking himself totally out of the picture. And therefore the Lova will give it directly to the Malva, and not this Malva now is totally out, finished, he's totally out of the picture. What are the nafkaminos? One of the nafkaminos is the Malva still has the right to be mocha alone. Right? This is something discussed yesterday a little bit. Whether if the Malva is totally out of the picture here, then he can no longer be mocha the loan. On the other hand, if the Malva is in the picture, he's just saying, you know, instead of giving it to me, give it to him, then he can be mocha alone. Tosfos over here specifically says, and we see this Tosfos and Gittin said a similar thing, that because over here, that if a Malva goes ahead and is mochel, ain't a machul. If he's mochel on this loan, the Malva, it does not work to be mochel. So you see from Tosfos' view is Ma'amad Shloshtam is that once the Malva tells the Lova to pay to the third party, it goes to the third party directly without any, right, without any ability now for him to interfere or be mochel. So that's one of the nafkaminas between these two understandings of Michila two understandings of Ma'amad Shloshtam, and depending on how you view Ma'amad Shloshtam, I have a nafkamina like this. There are other nafkaminos, including who's the shibud, where is the shibud, is there a new shibud, or is the shibud the original shibud? What would that make a difference? The difference will be the recipient can tell the Lova to do it against his will, or to the recipient without him really being involved with it, because the loan is still the original loan, it's just being assigned to this other individual. Whereas if you think there's a totally new loan being generated, a totally new shibud being generated over here, and you can't do it bal korcho of the loveh, because if you're doing it bal korcho of the loveh, right, then the loveh has to agree to this new shibud, and And that means that the Malva, if he's going to get out of this picture, needs the Lova to agree to this. Whereas if the Malva is still involved in the process, he doesn't need the Lova. He can say, who cares what the Lova thinks? Just give it to the other guy because it's really coming through me. Tosfos over there, Tosfos in Gittin, also said over there that he thinks you can do this, even Bal Korcha of the Lova. So over there, Tosfos seems to be a steer, even though it's two different Bali Tosfos, seems to be a steer in the Bali Tosfos. Bali Tosfos believes that you can, the Malva cannot be Mochel. Sounds like the Malva is out of the picture. On the other hand, he says you can do it against the will of the Lova, which sounds like the Malva is still in the picture because we're basing it on the original Shibud and nothing's really changing over here. But nevertheless, there are a number, a series of Nafkaminot between how you would Mamach Lushtam. Mamach Lushtam again, that the Lova is now starting a new loan with a third party, or is it that the Lova still owes the money to the Malva? He's saying, instead of giving it to me, just give it to that third party. And again, how Mamach Lushtam works, the Gemara says it's Milsa below Taimel. It's something that works without any reason. There, the Meiri and the Rashi and others bring down, the Rishon and Rosh bring down, and Gittin, that it's because of Zer Tashuk. In order to make it easier for people to transact and to, they didn't have to pay for cash, everything on the spot, it was a way to create commerce without keeping liquidity in the markets by using this Mamach Lushtam. It's possible that the Mamach Lushtam works because of what you call it, Gemir Tadat, meaning that there's the Kinyan. The whole point of a Kinyan is that there's a Gemir Tadat. Mamach Lushtam might generate the Gemir Tadat that's needed, right, without having the formal Kinyan that would otherwise be necessary in a transaction. So now Gemara says, Nema Kitanai. Let us say this is a Machlokis Tanoim. Again, we're going back to the statement of Rav. The statement of Rav was that a Mikadosh Milvain and Mikudeshet. And now we're going to say, let's say it's a Machlokas Tanaim. Why? He actually be star. He married me with this star. Rabbi Omer, maybe Omer in a Mikudeshet. Rabbi Lozer Omer Mikudeshet. Rabbi says no Kiddushin. Rabbi Lozer says yes Kiddushin. Chamim Shaminat and Iyar. We value the paper that he's giving her. Mishpo Shavu Pruta Mikudeshet. If it's worth the Pruta, she's Mikudeshet. Imlav, Eino Mikudeshet. Hi, Star. What is this star over here that he's using? Elaim Ishtarchov, the Achivim, if we're talking about a loan document that he's assigning over, then Kashu Rabbi Meir, Adi Rabbi Meir, then you can't, this doesn't make sense. Why? Because the previous braisa that we brought down said that if it Kashu Rabbi Ishtarchov, there it specifically says it's Ishtarchov, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Mikudeshet. It works. Now over here you can have a case where the braisa says the Kashu Rabbi Ishtar, if you add the word Chovin, Rabbi Meir here will say, Eina Mikudeshet. You can't say that it's a steer in Rabbi Meir. So we can't be talking about Ishtarchov. It was hard to Chov. Must be we're talking about her Starkov, meaning that she owes him money, and now he's trying to be Mekadesh her with this money. Mekadesh Mamilga Kamiflege, and that's exactly what they're arguing about, whether you can be Mekadesh Mamilga. So Amar of Nachum Bayitzah, Chobamai Skina, and Shkog Kitcha Bishtar Shein Alavedim. Now we're talking about here a case where he's trying to marry her with a star that has no aid on him. This is a star Rusin, and he's saying to her, Ariat and Kadesh Ali Bishtar Zu, but there are no Adim signed on it. Rabbi Meir the Tamei, and Rabbi Meir is, according to his reading, if you remember the Gemara Gittim, we have a Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, what generates the Tokef of a star? According to Rabbi Meir, it's Adim Chatima, the Adim that are signed on the documents, what makes the document valid. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar believes that it's Adim Mesira Karte, that the Adim that give over, right, that are witness to the receipt of the star or the exchange of the star, are the ones that make the star valid. So the Amar Adim Hatima Karte. So Rameer is like his reasoning that he thinks you need signatories on the document to make it valid, and without signatories here, it's not a star Rusin. Rabbi Elazar the Tamei, the Amar Adim Sire Karte. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar believes what? Adim Sire Karte. So this star Rusin is a valid star Rusin. The Rabbanan Misvekaloho, the Rabbanan Rabbi Safek. Ike Rabbi Meir, Ike Rabbi Elazar. Do we pass them like Rabbi Meir, or do we pass them like Rabbi Elazar? Hilkach, Shamim Netaninar, therefore we value the paper. If it has a pruta worth in there, she's Mikudeshit. Vimlav, Eina Mikudeshit. If not, she's not Mikudeshit. This Girsa that we have in our Gemara does not make so much sense, because the Chalamim just said that they have a suffix, like whether they're like Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Meir. That means that if the paper is not worth a pruta, that there's still be choshesh for the Kedushin because of Rabbi Elazar. Elazar. Rav Elazar says it's a good kiddushin. So how can you say im lav ain't a
mikdash? The whole thing of star is that it's not shevuta. Otherwise, you could be mikdash in the puta.
Right, look, that's true. That's if the star is valid, that's true. If the star is valid, it doesn't matter what the star is worth. If the star is invalid, there's a possibility that you need value in the star because it'd be the equivalent of giving money. So that's what the chachamim are saying. So truthfully, Rashi and Tosfos eliminate the girsa here of im lav ain't a mikdash because it doesn't make sense. And this is how they explain the gemara. The chachamim argue or have two issues. One is, if the shtar is worth a pruta, they argue on Rabbi Meir. Because even if you hold like Rabbi Meir, who says that Ede Chatim Akarte, the Chachamim say, if the paper is worth a pruta, then it works even though the shtar is invalid. Because they say, if you marry with the shtar plus a pruta, so I'm going to valid a pruta, you can be somech on the pruta. So that's what they argue on Rabbi Meir. Now, even if the shtar is not worth a pruta, then Rabbi Meir would say there's nothing doing. Right? Rabbi Meir says nothing doing, whether it's worth a pruta or not worth a pruta, because Ede Chatim Akarte, he doesn't believe in this value of the star meaning anything. So Chachamim said, well, first of all, if the star has value, then it's good, right? If the star is worthless, they're choshes, the mistake of the Rabbi Elazar, and therefore, if not, then the mikudeshet be safek, there'll be a difference. If the star is worth a pruta, then she's mikudeshet megamri. Whereas if the star is worth less than a pruta, then according to Chachamim, she's only get mikudeshet be safek, because we worry about the shita of Rabbi Elazar. So for that reason, Rashi and Tosfos eliminate this last line in the girsa, im lav ein mikudeshet, because it doesn't make sense then, according to what the Chachamim are saying, that it's mistaken. Right now, Vibai Zema, they explain the machokas like this. Gagam, Shikatsvo, Shalogishma, Ubdere Shlokish commits the gate. That actually they wrote the Shtar Erusin, Shalogishma. The Babi Rabbi Shlokish, Shtar Erusin, Shikatsvo, Shalogishma. What's the din of a Shtar Erusin that was written, Shalogishma? Havaya Litsia Makshina. Do we say we have these hekesh between get and Shtar Erusin? Therefore, Mayitsia, Vien and Lishma, just like a get must be Lishma. So too, a shtar erusin has to be done lishma. Oh, dilma habayot hadadi mekidushin. Or maybe we say all of kiddushin is one category. And what does that mean? That means that when you're mekadesh, mahavaya the kesef lo bein lishma, you don't have to give your kesef kiddushin lishma, right? Rather, afavaya the shtar lo bein lishma. Also over here, you don't have to have the shtar be lishma. Both are the ba'ayo. After Rish Lakish asked the question, are the pashto? He answered his answer himself. Yatzav haita. We have this hekesh of yatzav haita. Mekish havaya the tziyah. That's it. That we hold of this hekesh, and therefore, right, a shtar erusin must be done lishma. So therefore, the machlokas will hear mar isle de Reish Lakish. Right, Rabbi Meir holds of this principle of Reish Lakish. Therefore, when the shtar here was written shlo lishma, the shtar erusin is invalid. Rabbi Elazar says no, mar de isle de Reish Lakish. Right, and Rabbi Elazar does not hold of Reish Lakish, meaning that if you don't. If you did it slowly, shma, it's fine. It's a valid shtar erusin. Of course, the chachamim again would be misveika, right, between them. Bibai zema, the kulayama islu, the reish lakish. Everybody holds of this reish lakish. Bahachubai skinish, who cuts with the shma, vishalomidata. They wrote it for the shma, for this woman. The shtar erusin was written the shma, but they wrote it without her knowing about it. So what does that make a difference? Uptukta, the rub of Ravina, Rapapa, Rav Shvarb, Kamiflegay. We have a machlokus about this, though. Itmar. They wrote it for her, specifically this woman, but Shalomi Data, Rabbi, not with her knowing about it, without her knowledge. Rabbi Ravina Amrei Mikudeshet. It works. This star works, even if she doesn't know about it. But Papa Rav Shravi Amrei Eina Mikudeshet. It does not work in this case. So that'll be the case. So this Machlokis, right, will also be based on this. Now what's the reasoning for each of them? Right, so Rabbi Ravina will say that she is Mikudeshet. Is mayitzin lo be'ina k'tiva midata. Just like you can divorce against one's will, against the will of the woman, so it's over here, you can divorce her, you can marry her, shelo midata, meaning that if you give her the shtar, she has no need to know that the shtar was written, right, for her. And once he gives her the shtar and she accepts it, that'll be kiddushin, even though she didn't know about the shtar being written until this point. That's one possibility. But on the other hand, Rekobra of Shrav, you say that ain't a mikudeshet. Why not? Because how does Vagerishin, who is the makne? Who is the one giving up rights in Gitin? That's the husband. The husband's the one divorcing her, giving up his rights to the woman. So in that case, the get must be done with his knowledge, and the woman is irrelevant in terms of the gift because she's not giving up. She's right. She's getting herself back. She's not being makne anything. In our case of Kiddushin, who's the makne here? The makne is the woman. She's giving her rights or her herself over to the husband. She's the makneh. So if we compare it to Gittin, then the makneh, just like by the makneh by Gittin, the husband needs to know about it. Also over here, the makneh, the woman, needs to know about it, and therefore she's ena mikudeshet. Now we do say, we do have the hekesh. Everybody agrees there is a hekesh.
How do we explain it?
Right, exactly. How do we explain what part of get are we focused on? Right, that's the machlokes. So we put it as a machlokes, so we focus on the fact that it can be done by korcha. So there's, you know, that's everything works about korcha and the drink. Or do we focus on the fact that who is the one who's, right, who's the makneh here? And it changes between kiddushin and the girushin. Alright. So Mar says, Nemo, kehane, tonight. So let us say that this is like these tonight. But Kadesh Milva is a machlokes tonight. That's what we've been trying to do all along here. Rab makes a statement, Kadesh Milva, and we kadesh it. Nemo, ketani, tonight. What? Titania. A woman says, gives a man gold to work with and says, make for me bracelets, nose rings, and rings. Right? And then I will marry you when you give me the items back. I'll marry you with that value. As soon as he finishes the work, they are married. Divrei Rabbi Meir. It doesn't work until she gets the money. So what do you mean, gets the money? Hi mamon, hey chidami. What's the money that she needs to get over here? Ilim oto mamon. If you say it means oto mamon, meaning that he has to give her back the gold, meaning he has to give her the products that he produced back to her. The chalav with Tanakama server, I feel oto mamon nami lo. Right? And then that sounds like the Tanakama believes that even if he doesn't give back the products that he made, then they're still married. How does that work? He didn't give her anything yet. So how does that work? My bow. So what does it mean? Bo mikacho, right? What is he marrying with? Alav b'mon zacher. This is other money. What's the other money involved here? So there are two objects, there are two items that you can marry with over here. One possibility, right, or the two ways to view the objects that he's giving her. One possibility is that she hired him, this chirut, right? She owes him money for the work he did, right? And then when she owes him money for the work he did, that's separate from the items, the gold that she hands her back, the items that he hands her back, separate from that, there's a chirut. She owes him money for the work that he did. The second thing is that when he hands the items back to her, he's improved the value of that item. So there's also improved value in the item that he's handing her. So which one is he marrying with, right? Or what is the focus over here? So that's what we're saying here, but mamon acher. He has to hand the items back to her, no matter what, because otherwise there's no kiddushin. Now the question is, what is he marrying with? This is the mamon acher, with the schirus, with the that money she owes him for the work, the labor that he did. It's mami no, but mekadesh from milva kamiflagay. Why? What are they arguing about? Sabri, t'kuli hama yishna schirut mitzkelevat sof. When it comes to paying for someone, when you have a laborer who you're paying him his rental, quote unquote, his day rates, and you're paying him as he's doing the work, you begin to owe him the money. It's not when he completes the work you owe him the money, but as he does the work along the way, you owe him the money. So now what happens? Until he gets to the end of his work, she owes him all the money that he's been doing until this point. And at that point, what does he say to her? And now he says to her, be mekadesh me with this schirus. The schirus is already a loan. The schirus is already a loan. He's being mekadesh me milveh. And my focus is about mekadesh me milveh or not. My love, Hakamiflagay. Marsav Makash Mavilva Kudeshit. Marsav Makash Mavilva Anima Kudeshit. Because the Schirus is a loan. And the question is, can he marry her with this loan or not?
So when he finishes it,
No. So that's the difference here. No, that only once he hands the objects does she become obligated in it. He has to return the objects to become obligated because then it's not complete. Completion is when he hands the objects to her. So that way, the Chiyuv only happens at that moment, and he's been Makash her at that moment. That's it. Explain it. You can see this in a second in the Gemara. Lo, Tukuliyama Makash Mavilva Anima Kudeshit. Now, everybody goes, it's not working. The halacha, the issue is the theorist between itself, the mitzvah. This is exactly what they're arguing about. My sefer, one holds what, you know, the theorist elav asof. The theorist only works at the end. It only becomes an obligation at the end. Look at Rashi. This is your question, David, right? The obligation only comes at the moment he returns the objects to her. By the same kedushin, who moklo etzla. Now he's forgiving the loan at that moment. Veinkan milvet. There's never a loan because he forgives it at the moment that he hands it to her. So that time alone. But Marcel, right, Yishlan Skirut Mitzvah Tzov. And the other one holds no, that Skirut Mitzvah Tzov, and therefore there is a milveh here. If there's a milveh, it's not going to work. Viva Zema, Tukuliyama Yishlan Skirut Mitzvah Tzov. Everybody holds no. The Skirut goes from the beginning to end. Mekadesh Milva in a Mekadesh. And everybody agrees that if you use a loan to be married, it won't work. Ah, Bahaka, but Uman Kone Besheva Klika Miflegay. Question is, what happens to the increased value of the object? They're arguing about this. Marsever Uman Kone Besheva Kli. Then in Uman, when he improves the value of the object becomes his. And then when he gives it back to the woman, it's as if he's selling the object back to her with this increased value, and she owes him the increased value, meaning that he is the equivalent of a kablan. He's like a contractor. He's a contractor, which in a sense is, you have to, here, please do this work for me. And then, how does he get paid? He gets paid because he's improved the value of the gold here. When he improves the value of the gold, then he sells that back to her, and she's paying him for that improved value. That means that she's only, right, paying for it, or only chayevet to pay for it at the moment he hands her the kli. If that's the case, there's no milveh over here. On the other hand, marsevein uman kol b'shev kli. Other one, he holds no, that in uman, when he works, does not acquire the object. He's getting paid for his labor, not for the object that he's returning. If that's the case, then you have, again, mikadesh b'milveh, because we say yesh miskiros mitzila atzok. So it's a difference between, is he a contractor, and his value that he's generating is in the object itself, and then he sells the object to her, or is he a laborer? And the object's value always belongs to her, and the question is, how is he getting paid? He's getting paid as a laborer. If he's getting paid as a laborer, he earns that along the way, and therefore it becomes a milveh. Everybody agrees that he's not a contractor, that he's a laborer. Everybody agrees that the money gets paid along the way, so it becomes a loan. Everybody holds that if you use a loan, it doesn't work. Oh, so what's my focus? He put in a nice stone into the object. He made a ring for her and he put a stone in the ring. So now he's adding something of his own value that's his. So now the marsavim milve upruta date apruta. If you marry with a loan plus a pruta, the focus is on the pruta. Or marsavim date milve. The milve is a much bigger number, and that's what she's focused on over here. So that's the machlokas, and the putas machlokas here will be when he adds something of his own value plus she owes him the labor rates, which are on milve. What are we focused on here? The labor rates, which is the bigger number, or she knows the labor rates aren't going to matter here, so she's mekadeshim with the pruta, and then the milve is a separate, you know, matana that comes along the way. Pruta the honey tonight. It's the same as the matana machlokas tonight that we saw. The tanya scharsha siti mecha in a mekadeshim. He says, marry me with the work of that money that you owe me for work I did for you in a mekadeshim. Scharsha eshei imach, right, with the value of work that I'm going to do for you in the future mekadeshim. Then it works. Rabbi Natan Omer, the scharsha eshei imach, right, the money that I'm going to do in the future in a mekadeshim. Clearly, right, even right with the money that you did before and review. The Anasi Omer, the Emet Amru, they say everybody agrees, Ben Shkar Shasiti, Ben Shkar Shasimach, in a Mekudeshet. Right? Where everybody agrees that whether it's in the future or in the past, in a Mekudeshet. He's so sifa, right? Nopak, Mishalo, Mekudeshet. But if he adds in one of his own little pieces there, then it works. So now, the Gemara is going to explain, what's the Machlokas here? Ben the Tanakama, the Rabbi Notan, Ike Benai, was Chirut. The Machlokas between then and the Tanakama and Rabbi Notan has to do with how we view schirut. What does that mean, schirut? Do you believe that it's schirut is mitzchilat sof or not mitzchilat sof? Right? Rabbi Yonatan, who says that when you do, and even when you say future earnings you marry her with, it doesn't work. Right? Eina mekudeshet. Why? Because he believes schirut goes mitzchilat sof. So if it goes mitzchilat sof, the moment that he goes to marry her, it's already a loan, so it doesn't work anymore. Number two, whereas the Tanakama believes, what? The Tanakama believes that is at a soap. So therefore, if you've already done the work and it's a milver already, now you can't marry it. But if you're going to do the work in the future, then the skirus only becomes valid at the end. At the moment the skirus is finished, he can marry her with the completion of the skirus. On the other hand, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda Nosi and Rabbi Natan? What's the machlokas between them? You can be now milver pruta. Right, that's exactly. He's adding in this extra diamond here. Marsava milver pruta date a milver. Rabbi Yehuda Nosi says, no, when it comes to, right, when it comes just like we saw before, when it comes to a milveh and a pruta, if you have a loan plus a pruta, the focus is on the pruta, so it'll work according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Well, Marsav, according to Rabbi Natan, date on milveh is on the milveh and it won't work. Marsav, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says date on pruta, focus is on the pruta and it will be valid. So if it's similar machlokas panaim, when you have a milveh alone plus an additional object, is the focus on the milveh and the kedushin fails, or is the focus on the pruta and the kedushin is valid? So again, the way we explain this machlokas over here in the braita that we brought down about the machlokas of whether when between Rabbi Meir, right, and the Chachamim about having to do with if someone does something, does work for a woman, and then Mekayesh was there, how does it work? So we came down in the end to the finest of Nekudat Machlokas here, or we went through a number of stages, and the last stage that we discussed here, which you said is similar to another Machlokas Chachamim, is whether you can be Mekadesh for Milveh or Bepruta. When you add in a Pruta to a Milveh, does that work? Does the Pruta work for the Kiddushin and the Milveh is a gift? Or is a woman so focused on the Milveh and then the Kiddushin will fail over here? Right now, the Gemara has another case. He'd actually leave a kosher to Israel Yain, and him says, he says, marry me with this cup of wine, and he figures out, or figures that it's really made out, it's really honey. Shaldavash, and him says, if it's honey, and then she finds out it's wine, right, the dinar says, Israel Kesef, this silver coin, and him says, Zahav, and in fact, she finds out that it's gold. Zahav, Shaldav, and him says, Kesef, that it's gold, and she finds out it's silver. I'm not Shani Ashir, that I'm rich, and condition I'm rich, and him says, Ani, and he's poor. Ani, even him says, Ashir, if he's poor, and he finds out that she's rich, in all these cases, it doesn't work because he misled her. I mean, it's a kiddushin b'taus. There were certain, she believed she was getting something, and yet she didn't get the object that she had intended for, right? That wasn't her intent. Rabbi Shimon Omer, if he tells Shevach Mekudeshet, wait a minute, that's only if the mistake is to her detriment, then we say no kiddushin. But if the mistake is to her benefit, then why not? It was an upgrade. I mean, instead of giving her silver, he gave her gold. It's all the better, right? So that's why can't it be? Right? Why can't it be better? By yain, he gave her wine instead of, right, chometz, all these things. It could be an upgrade, right? Everything could be an upgrade depending on what her view of the world is. So therefore, he was poor and then he turned out to be rich. I mean, why is she upset? So the Gemara says, Acham say no. She wanted something in particular. Tana Rabbanan. He casually because Zeh. So now we have this series of brachot to say that if you get married to me with this cup, Tani Chada Bo Umashi Tocho. That they're married, she's married with the coast plus what's in it. Tani Yidach Bo Velo Umashi Tocho. That only the value of the coast matters, not what's in it. But Tani Yidach Umashi Tocho Velo Bo. Right? That only what's in it matters, not what's the cup itself. So Velo Kasha. Question, these brachos are dealing with different types of contents in the cup. So I'm going to explain it first according to Rashi, and then we'll go to the Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Rashi says, Habamayo. Here we're talking about water. Water is not valuable. So it's clear there, right? Then what is he marrying with? He's wearing her with the coast. Just the coast. Habachamro. When we're talking about wine, what did he marry her there? Wine is served to be, you drink the wine and then you hand the cup back. If somebody gives you a cup of wine, you drink the wine and hand the cup back, according to Rashi. Therefore, the focus is only bashev bitocho, only on the inside. We're going to focus on the wine. The cup is irrelevant. Habit siara, the last one is siara. Siara actually gives two explanations. One possibly is shemen from yitar, that it's oil, or the other possibly is it's sir dagim, right? It's fish brine that's in it. In this case, that you don't give someone a cup and they take the oil out and then they give it back. Oil sits in a cup for a long time. Fish brine sits in a cup for a long time. So the intent is to give you both the cup itself plus the contents of the cup. Says Bo, Umayshu Ketocho. Rabbeinu Tam questions Rashi Pshat. Why? Because Rashi Pshat does not follow the order of the brachot that we brought down. That's what you were, right? What you told me before, that it's not in the same order as the brachot say, a different order than the way Rashi is explaining. So Rabbeinu Tam goes to explain it based on the order of the brachot. So he says, Habamaya, when it comes to water, it's Bo, Umayshu Ketocho. Why? Because the water is Batel, the Gaviyah Coast. So it is Batel, the Gaviyah Coast, then it's all one item, and therefore he marries with both of them. On the other hand, you have Chamra. Chamra is chashuv. It's significant enough to be what? Significant enough that it's not batel to the right to the cup, but it's not significant enough that it makes the cup irrelevant. So in that case, it'll be bo, but not b'ashi b'toko. So you only focus on the cup, not the wine, because the wine's too significant to be batel to the cup. The last one is tira. Tira is so significant that you're only married with the tira, and the cup is irrelevant. It becomes irrelevant, and it's out of the picture because of the contents are so significant. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Afterwards, Tosfos goes back and says, you know what, the Rabbeinu Tam is not such a great kasha, because throughout Shas we see this where the Gemara will give a list of items and still mixes it up again afterwards, and doesn't always have to follow the same order. So he says that Rashi could be right even because the order is not so important. Right now, the Gemara says, Im tihito l'shevach, hazari zeh mikudeshet. If he misleads her to her benefit, then she is mikudeshet. The late lady, Rabbi Shimon, Yain v'nimtza chometz v'nimtza yain shnehem yichulim lachzor behem. If you have a transaction where a buyer and seller are agreeing to buy or sell either wine or vinegar, and it turns out that if he sold him vinegar and it was wine, that they can reverse the transaction, or if you sold him wine and they find out vinegar, obviously they can reverse the transaction. So sometimes people want vinegar, meaning that he bought vinegar, you wanted vinegar, and now he gets wine. Yeah, it's better, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted vinegar, and you didn't give him vinegar. Some woman likes silver. Some woman wants gold. She doesn't. She has particular wants or particular need. That she needs silver now. She needs gold now. When he gives her the wrong thing, it's not a valid kiddushin. So Amar of Simi Rashi asked the Abaye, the Yotim come and the bread. I saw Abaye sitting down. And he's explaining this position of Rabbi Shimon to his son. What's the case here? Amar the Shlucho. He said to his agent. The husband says to his agent. The future husband says to his agent. Hilvani dinar shel kesef. Go borrow a silver coin. And then with that money, go right, marry this woman. And then he went and borrowed gold. Right? One opinion, or the Tanakhama says what? That there's a kpeda. What does it mean, a kpeda? But he said to him, go borrow silver. He meant, borrow silver. Right? So the other one says, no. Now when he said this to that, borrow silver, he thought it would be easier to get silver. Nobody wants to lend gold. But where to lend silver? So he just told him to do the easier of the two. But if he managed to pull it off and he borrowed gold, then he'd be just as happy. Now it's not clear, right, that there's
it's all in the copy.
Right, the Mishnah reads all wrong. Right? That's a, as David just pointed out, this is all coming from the Tzad of the Kaddish. The Mishnah says what? He catch a leap, right? That I was doing the Kiddushin. Over way, right? Over here, the way the Abaye is explaining the Mishnah, it's the Shlucho that's doing it. It should say in the Mishnah, marry him, because it's the Shliach who's acting over here. Hita the Shevach, it shouldn't say that he misled her. It should be Hita the Shevach, right? That the Shliach was misleading her, right? Or misled him, Shlucho me by like, right? Nimsa, it would be Kara, not Misa. What do you mean they figured out it was gold now? It was always gold. When he borrowed it, it was gold. The mistake happened at the moment that he borrowed the gold. So you can't explain the Mishnah like this. Elomar Rova says, no, there's a different explanation this and the Arish Bechura of Targamina, we explained it. Umano, who's this Arish Bechura? Or Bechia Bab. Hakum Maiskina, what are we dealing with over here? Kigon to Amrahi, the Shlucha. She said to her agent, say, Kiba Li Kdushi, Miploni. Go accept my Kedushin from so and so. Shamar Li, it's Gacha Li, Bidina Shel Kesef, who said he's going to marry me with this silver coin. Bahalach, Menatan Lo, Bidina Shel Sahab. And then her agent went in and got received a gold coin on her behalf. Marsavar Kepeda. When the woman says, go accept the Kedushin from me, the silver coin Kedushin from me, she's telling him, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a silver coin, and that's what I want. She brings back a zahab, that's not what she wanted. The other, Marsavar Mara Malkum Hilo. No, it's just an indication of what she's saying. How do you know what is the Kedushin that I'm accepting? She says, that's the guy, the Shliach is coming with the silver coin, he's the one that I'm going to marry. Not that she wants the silver coin in particular, she's just giving guidance as to who the guy is. So now if she ends up gold, so she's just happy. She was just trying to indicate him where to go or what's going to happen. So Mara says, Umay Nimso. Wait a minute, again, here you have the same problem. What is that? It was always gold. Meaning that she now all of a sudden realizes it's gold, Nimso is gold. It was always gold, and the Shliach picked it up. He saw it was gold from the moment that he picked it up. So Mara says, no, the Katsair Bavlito. It's a case where they wrapped it up. It was wrapped up in a little package. Since it was wrapped up in a package, the Shliach never knew what he accepted. He just went there, he collected the item, and then he went back to the woman. The woman opens it up. All of a sudden, it's a... Right. Right. So Rabbi Shimon agrees. If it's worse, it doesn't work. Exactly. That's exactly what. Right. That's exactly right. So Rabbi Shimon says only if it's a benefit, it's an improvement. That she agrees. If it's toward detriment, to her. Right. We say that at least her Myron Malcolm is a minimum standard that she's willing to marry for. I mean, that's her expectation. So we have to say there's a minimum standard that she won't be surprised to the downside. But it's a Myron Malcolm that we say that if she's surprised to the upside, then we say okay, don't worry about it so much. All right. So that's we'll say the statement of Abaye now, and then we'll come back to it tomorrow. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon, Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Kulu Sfir Lahu Mayra Malkum Hulo. They believe in this principle of Mayra Malkum. Rabbi Shimon had Amran. Rabbi Shimon is our case over here, which is Rabbi Shimon says that the case where the Shliach comes back with the item, that we don't say that if it's the wrong item. Again, to her benefit, then we say it's fine. Whereas if it's to her detriment, we say it's not fine because of this case of Mayra Malkum Hulo. That the right. Thank you. that it's not considered a shinoi. Right? So that's if you look in Rashi, Kulu Sphere Lil Mary Makum Hulo. So again, in this case, Rashi points out, Omer Lishlucho, Lasoko Bazavarakau, to get me something of lesser value or lighter. Baslo Bazavarakabe, and they ended up doing something better for him or on benefit. Dane's a shinoi. That's not considered a shinoi in Shlichus. To lighten up the burden of the Shlichus. If it was impossible for him in another way. So this idea of Mary Makum here is only again when it is, right, to the benefit. I mean, only to the benefit of the recipient, that the agency is only as valid as if it's a schus, although the agency falls apart, because then if they did something to the detriment, you can say, right, I said you could do something to my benefit, not to my detriment. All right, we'll stop over here.
All right.